All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Is Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 41, Aftershocks.
Ooh, catchy name.
I know, I'm trying to get something catchy going. I don't want to say what we were going to go with, because the obvious jokes would imply things about the XM show that we don't feel were true at all.
Not at all.
So we're going to stay away from that line of joking and move on with Aftershocks.
Why shocks? It's more than one?
I don't know. Because right. There's like a few segments.
Well, there is more than one. There's the MP3. There's the M4A. There's your cute little blurb on the iTunes.
As long as you don't make me spell it with like double X. Some
shocks.
Dumb construction like that.
I don't think that one is...
Is taken yet?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, that's Nike shocks are taken. Isn't that how they spell Nike shocks?
Oh, I don't even know.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Those name of the trendy, episode isn't expensive Nike shocks, Nikes though. That you design yourself online.
That's great. So anyway.
If
we're glad to have you back here on the regular show. We hope at this point that you have enjoyed episode 40, the XM Experience, whether you listen to it live on Saturday night or whether you have acquired in some way a downloaded version or a pirated version or some other version of the show other than having heard it live. It was a great experience. We want to thank once again John Romita Jr. and Brian Harnois from Ghost Hunters for giving us what we consider fantastic appearances on our show.
Definitely. Definitely. It was a good time, too.
Right. And that, for us, is kind of a turned corner. We're turning kind of a corner there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start ramping up the show, as they say. Starting to get bigger and better, not longer necessarily, but bigger and better.
Right.
And unfortunately, that won't be starting this evening.
No.
But we are going to make some announcements later on tonight, which are very exciting for the program.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should move right away. Once again, if you haven't gotten episode 40 yet, you can go to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and get episode 40. Although that announcement is kind of moot, considering that probably everybody who's hearing this has gotten episode 40. And some, no?
You never know.
Well, all right, I'm covering bases.
We do have new listeners all the time.
All the time, new listeners.
So I'm going to go right into something we had discussed in episode 39, something we had thrown out to the fans in hopes of getting a response.
Whoa, we're leaping right into that.
I want to start off with that. I want to get it going, and I want to continue it, actually. But I kind of just want to give some feedback for what we've gotten so far. We threw out there a question. We wanted to know, in a Hollywood big-budget movie version of Speed Racer.
Which they are currently making.
Although we've recast it for purposes of this question.
Right.
Where Johnny Knoxville would play the role of Speed Racer. And Vince Vaughn would play the role of Racer X. Who would you cast in the role of Trixie? And I just wanted to give some of the suggestions that we've gotten so far. So, some of the responses we've gotten so far were Anna Faris.
Oh, yeah. Anna Faris.
Could kind of see that. You definitely would have to do her hair red, you know.
Red? But, why red?
Doesn't Trixie have red hair?
No, she's black hair. She's Asian.
Yeah, I thought she had red hair for some reason.
And that would be fine on Anna Faris because...
Well, yeah, she's had those.
Her first scary movie, she had black hair.
Mm-hmm. Then there would be...
And she's hot.
Kristen Bell was suggested.
No.
Okay.
I'm saying no to Kristen Bell.
Allison Hannigan
whoa,
was
whoa,
suggested.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Why are we just blasting through them? Maybe we have a comment.
Because I just want to throw out the... your comment was no.
No, he said no, and then he retracted
it. It was
said,
pretty bold.
Let me
tell you why.
We need to talk about that more.
Let me tell you why. First of all,
why?
Kristen Bell does not look good with black hair, as you can see in the Fanboys trailer.
Okay.
If you go online and check it out, which if you haven't by now, you should.
Okay.
B, Kristen Bell, at the Clerks 2 premiere in Los Angeles... Uh-huh. When I was there walking the red carpet, she passed me on the red carpet because she had to use the ladies' room.
Okay.
And so now I'm standing just inside the theater, just off the red carpet, and here comes Kristen Bell like a shot out of a cannon out of the bathroom, and she pushes me out of the way to get back out onto the red carpet.
Wow.
So she can get her the rest of her attention, I suppose.
It's better than her coming out and... smacking her right hand against her left pocket and water coming out.
She totally going, and what makes it worse is
there.
What makes it worse is I'm in the middle of a conversation with Jason Lee, who I have always wanted to meet. I have always wanted to have a conversation with, and there I am having that conversation, and I'm actually telling him about this show.
Ooh.
and other things, and here she comes and shoves me out of the way, and I turn to Jason Lee and I said, did Kristen Bell, or actually that's not what I said. I said, did Veronica Mars just push me out of the way? And he was like, yeah, she did. And
that was pretty good impression.
That was a moment. Thank you.
So how was Jason Lee? Because he's like one of the probably five people in Hollywood that I'd want to talk and hang out with.
Yeah.
He's very cool.
He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah,
you know?
He is. Very cool guy.
Hmm.
So anyway, Kristen Bell, absolutely not. Who was the next choice?
Allison Hannigan.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
She's busy doing other things?
No.
In your mind, she's busy doing other things. Yeah. She can't be.
In my mind, she's busy doing one thing. But in reality, she doesn't look good in black hair.
Hmm.
Especially since you'd have to color her beautiful red hair in order to get that way. So I'm going to go with a big no.
Okay.
So far, I like Anna Faris.
Rosario Dawson?
No.
Okay.
No, she's too powerful a woman.
To play Trixie?
Yeah. She's too, like, kind of, I'll kick your ass in everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not a slight against Rosario. And Rosario, if you're actually listening to this, you owe me a hot dog. That's all I'm saying. And she's too much of a power, I think she's too much of a power woman to be kind of the cute girlfriend who, you know, is on the side and waiting for, you know. And,
I hear you.
Who said that? Is anyone we know?
Yeah, actually, I think that was Brian Lynch.
Yeah, of course it was Brian Lynch. Dumbass Hollywood Brian
Lynch. I think Brian might have said Kristen Bell, too. So.
Good. Of course he did. And Brian was there. Brian was at that premiere when that went down, although I don't recall whether we were together at that moment or not. Perhaps we weren't.
And before I say what the last suggestion was, I want to go on record as saying, I swear to God that this was not my suggestion. I have not put in any suggestions, and I know you're all going to think it was mine, but I swear it was not.
What, did you recommend a Transformer
play
the part?
No, I did not, but Jewel State was thrown in there.
I knew it.
And it was not me that suggested it.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I could see that, but you'd have to color that beautiful red hair that she has.
Well, her hair's not really...
Look, it's red. It's... Shut up. It's red.
All right.
Yeah, I could kind of see that. Maybe. I don't know. It's kind of a stretch for me. I wouldn't be upset with it if it happened, but it wouldn't be really my first choice.
Okay.
However, I think Anna Faris is a really good choice.
Okay.
So we're leaving the door open, though. If there's somebody you think we missed, go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and drop us a line or go on the forums or...
So are we going to just steal this bit from the old pages of Wizard? This used to be a Wizard thing that they had in every issue of Wizard, right?
No, we're not going to do it regularly. I just think it's an interesting question, and everyone has some sort of connection or association with Speed Racer. Even if you don't like Speed Racer like me, I mean, it's just one of those things. They're doing so much comic to film nowadays that it's just an interesting discussion. Who you think would be... good for this role and that role. And I think by and large, they've done very well as far as the casting of most movies is concerned.
Sure.
Mostly. Some of them I thought were kind of questionable. But, you know, in the end, everything seems to work out. It's just an interesting conversation. So, no, we're not ripping anyone off. Fantastic.
We should. It's a good bit. And the fact that they really chose Patrick Stewart as Professor X.
That was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, moving past Trixie.
We move past things a lot.
We do move past them. Well, we have to move past things.
It's true. We can't just spend all day talking about Trixie.
Because, you know, God forbid we spend 9 minutes on a single subject. Someone might get upset.
I know. 9 whole minutes. Woo! Jeez, it was like a lifetime, wasn't it?
It felt easily like a half an hour.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
9 minutes.
Exactly. 8 minutes and 59 seconds, to be exact. It was 1/6 of the show. Just saying.
It was probably like 8 minutes, 59 seconds and, you know, some relative... a blip digit on the rest of a minute.
I'm sure.
That's why I'm just calling it 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Or 540 seconds.
Hey, Corgi has been acquired by Master Replicas.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting. I mean, I guess I could see a relationship between the two companies. Corgi having been around for years, though.
Corgi's a pretty old company.
Yeah, for it to go to someone like Master Replicas, and it wasn't like a merger. I'm pretty positive it was Master Replicas acquired them.
And my impression of Master Replicas in the last few years is that they were not doing so well.
Yeah.
So perhaps I'm incorrect in that little assessment, which is great because I think they're a great company. We love the guys over at Master Replicas.
Sure. We love the guys over at Corgi. I mean, they put out some good stuff. I've been fans of their stuff in the past.
I'm guessing that, and this is just a guess, but I'm guessing that with lightsaber sales and some of the other products that are really doing well, the Pirates products, I think are probably doing really well for them. I guess that they're bouncing back a little bit because I'm pretty sure at one point that they were having an issue or two, which is a shame too, because they're a great company. Like I said, they do fine products, and acquiring Corgi is probably a really, really great business move for them.
Sure.
I mean, the level of product coming out of Corgi has always been exceptional, and the product level coming out of Master Replicas also exceptional. So it's good. It's good that they were acquired by, Master Replicas as opposed to being acquired by some lesser company. Like,
oh, sure.
I want to say Johnny Lightning or something that would do less for them than more for them.
Right. And it'll be good for Master Replicas. I think Corgi will bring experience and product to Master Replicas that Master Replicas doesn't already have.
We know exactly why you are glad that Master Replicas acquired Corgi.
Why?
Because you're hoping now that you're going to get those Red Dwarf toys that are only available overseas.
Lock.
Let me think if I count them on one hand. Zero.
Whether my need for the Corgi Red Dwarf replicas is accurate or not, I think it was nice. It's a good combination, those two companies together.
Mm-hmm.
2000ADonline.com right now has an image of the first actual indie legend being the line that is coming from Toy Biz. It is the Judge Death figure.
So this is the Toy Biz. Are they calling it Indie Legends?
I believe so.
Okay. And this is an actual image from Toy Biz. And it's Judge Death.
It is Judge Death, yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
So if you go to 2000ADonline.com, you can check that out.
Or you're probably checking it out right now. Or you can go to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, episode 41, Aftershocks, photo gallery, and find it in there.
You can.
Well, that's very interesting. They really are wasting no time, are they?
Well, you know what? I guess if they've got the licenses and they've got the sculpts, then they've got to move forward. I mean, it's potentially it could be a race against the clock. So why not move forward if they have it?
I guess.
That's all I'm going to say. So new...
That's all you're going to say because you're afraid the guys that...
No, it's
Fwoosh, whoosh.
That's
what
all
is it? Fwoosh?
Fwoosh?
Fwoosh.
F-W-O-O-S-H. And they've been quiet. They haven't talked about us since that last time, so.
Well, you're talking about the subject again, so, you know.
No, I'm not. I'm not mentioning Shocker at all.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Indie Legends, there's a picture up there. We mentioned it. We said it was from Toy Biz. We all know how we feel about everybody. So there it is.
Online this week.
You just can't wait to get off of this topic, can you?
Well, you know what?
I
think we beat
terrified.
It into the ground. No, I'm not terrified of it, but I think we beat it pretty well last time, and it's time to move on from it.
You are panic-stricken.
It's time to grow up from that.
You're panic-stricken.
Until something more important comes up, why would I be panic-stricken?
You're shaking. Your feet are shaking.
I'm always shaking.
You are
I'm a
scared
twitchy
of,
SOB.
You are scared of the guys at Fwoosh.
They didn't attack me. They attacked you.
I'm just
the one good thing about being the other guy is that I don't ever actually get attacked. You always get attacked. It's kind of nice. I could sit in the background and watch it.
Okay, coward. Move on.
Anyway, online this week, some new images from the TMNT movie popped up. I think they are out fucking standing. The shots of the turtles and the foot soldiers are absolutely amazing. About the only thing I don't like about them would be Casey Jones and April O'Neil.
I knew you were going to say that.
Why did you think I was going to say that?
Because they're way too deformed. They're not normally super deformed, like short and fat. They're way too thin. They have like very skinny waists and legs. And I can tell that the April O'Neil to me looks like Ninja April O'Neil or Assassin April O'Neil. Like you don't know whether she's going to be the reporter or the lab rat or whatever they had her in the past. It's like she's the ninja in this, and she has a complete outfit with many swords and sheaths and things. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they're going to work her character into the story or what her character is going to be. And actually, the design on them is, I don't know. I guess I got so jazzed about what the turtles looked like and so jazzed about what like the foot soldiers looked like that now that we're starting to see the human characters, I guess maybe some of that cartoony CGI aspect isn't translating as well over to them as nicely as it did the turtles.
You know, I think the quality of the stuff that they're putting out is really good, but the whole style behind it, it's been going downhill more and more every time I see additional footage come out of the, you know, in trailers, and I took a look at the figures and things like that, and I saw the Casey Jones, and yeah, all the parts of Casey Jones are there. You know, he has
right.
the golf bag, and he has the broken bat, and the golf club, and the hockey stick, but it's like the whole shape of the thing just isn't what Casey Jones should be in my mind,
well,
even in a reimagining of it.
Well, let's talk about those toys for a minute.
Okay,
they're by Playmates,
mm-hmm.
and they're just starting to hit now. Mostly I've seen them at Target. It would seem... Target,
yeah, I think
Walmart
yeah.
first drag and everything.
Yeah, so I'm at Target.
And to me, they look fantastic. I mean, it's a very unique look and design. It's a reworking, yes. And you have to expect that it's not going to appeal to everybody. But in the sense that they needed to have some kind of redesign, and it's a little more radical than stuff they've done in the past.
But are you talking about the turtles, or are you talking about Casey and April?
I'm talking about all of them.
Yeah, okay. The whole line.
Because I don't have a problem with the turtles, or Splinter, or even the foot soldiers.
I think the Splinter looks really good. Especially when you compare it to the regular Splinter, or the
mm-hmm.
Splinter Fast Forward, or whatever the current one is.
Right.
I actually saw them right next to each other on the peg, and the one from the movie is just a lot more robust. There's a lot more dimension to his face and detail and things like that. It looks really good.
Yeah, they. I think by and large, the Turtles is just a license that continues to evolve, and this is just yet another evolution of that license.
Oh, sure. And look, I'm not saying I'm any less excited about the toys or the movie. I just am a little something about the design on Casey and April just isn't sitting with me. But maybe when I see it in action and I see it in the full film and I have the chance to absorb it in the context of the storyline, then that'll change. You know,
I think that I think we'll probably have a lot more to say about at least the toys and perhaps more about the design when we talk more in depth about the toys as soon as we get them from Playmates.
Sure.
I think we'll probably have a lot more to say about them at that time, because at least then we're given a full examination to the design aspect of the characters, because we'll basically be holding a maquette of the design in our hands.
Right.
So why don't we save a little bit of this conversation for that and see if actually having it here and being able to examine it probably opens up the doors a little bit wider than we are right now.
Okay.
I mean, a couple of images here. We've passive aggressively looked at the toys there. It's not giving us a full enough perspective.
I was aggressive the whole time.
I know. That's why there's restraining orders. Fantastic.
Hey, she said she was 18.
It is odd. I mean, I was trying to get to the figure, and there's like a woman with a stroller behind me, and she thinks, you know, this aisle is her aisle.
Yeah.
Running over the backs of my ankles.
Yeah, sometimes you get that look when you're in like Walmart and Target. You kind of get funny looks from mothers in the aisle. They're like, "What are you doing here?"
You know what I get?
Yeah, why?
I get. Let's see if this is the same. If you get a kid who is not with the mother, and you're in the aisle with the kid and the mother will go, "Come here," and to the kid and hold the kid's hand.
No, that's only you. No, that's
is that only me?
What I do notice though is that when you're walking around there, it's mostly other guys, you know, between 20 and some odd that are doing the whole lap thing.
You know
going
what?
Through and taking a look, and it's
head
only
hunters.
The moms. It's only
Listen,
the moms who are yelling at the kids.
I
put
have,
that down.
I have noticed this because in the past, one of the projects that me and Kev have done in the past, with some of our websites and stuff like that, is we kind of did studies on some of these stores and the buying habits of people and stuff
right.
like that. And I've noticed a distinct difference based on when you shop. For example, if I go into a Toys R Us, let's say, on a Saturday afternoon, I see a lot of mothers and a lot of children, right? But when I go to Target on my lunch break on a Wednesday afternoon, you know, I leave the office and I drive down 22 to the local Target, it's normally me and three other guys shuffling through the pegs rapidly
yeah.
in hopes of finding that one per case figure that everybody is looking for.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends on kind of when you're there and what time of year it is, obviously plays into it too. But
it also says a lot about the fact that the industry is changing from largely a – well, not largely, but it also says a lot about the face of the industry and the way that it's changing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was one thing, you know, in the 80s, there weren't huge toy collectors.
Right.
You know, no toy company was producing lines for collectors.
Sure. We've talked about this before.
Even 10 years ago, it was kind of almost absurd to think that a company would be creating a line entirely for collectors and not concerned about children and playability.
With the exception of Hasbro, probably. Because Hasbro was well into their Star Wars.
Again, but playability is the factor with Star Wars, not collectability. I mean, to a certain extent, yes, yeah. I agree with you. But to a larger extent, it was more about that being the exception rather than the rule. And I think that's starting to turn.
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of price, right? You go out there and there's no kids that can really buy things that are $15 for one figure.
Right.
Even though it's a supremely playable figure with all kinds of articulation and, you know, big weapons and nice art on the box and a little bonus inside of a DVD or whatever it is, they can't spend $15-16 on that.
Well, that's going to transition me into my next topic.
Okay.
I want to give this a quick talk, and then hopefully in the hopefully next week we'll be able to talk more about this in depth. Hasbro's first Marvel Legends line has hit the street.
Yes. I've heard about this. I've read about it.
Well, I saw them today.
Okay, I haven't seen them actually yet. But.
And they are awful.
All of them?
Awful.
Even Hercules?
Hercules is the only one that even comes close to being palatable.
Good. I'm glad that he's still good.
And without getting into much detail, which we will do once we have them in
sure.
hand, they are awful. I mean, from sculpt to packaging to just... I mean... Granted, we knew that the packaging, now at least, we knew at enough of a distance to know that the packaging was going to change. We knew that. Even though initially the indication was that the packaging wasn't going to change, well, it has. On top of that, the figures they produced, let me tell you how bad the figures
were. Well, maybe we should save this, no?
Well, just like I said, I just want to give a broad okay. overview. And here, I'm going to sum it up right here. The White Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Emma Frost.
Emma Frost was so bad it made me long for the Diamond Select figure.
Wow, I like the Diamond Select figure.
I know the Diamond Select figure was good.
Okay,
this figure not good.
I just want to draw a quick comparison, if I may. Was it like Toy Biz Electra bad? Because I thought Toy Biz Electra was awful.
It was. It's so hard to explain. You know what they look like? They look like knockoffs of Marvel Legends figures.
I'm going to have to see them, and we'll have to do a real good review next
week. And hopefully that will be next week. Okay. I got to get old Toy Mike on the phone and see if we make that a reality. Okay. Although, actually, no, it'll have to be, maybe it'll be 2 weeks if I can't get him to come up here, because I'll see him at Big Apple
Con. Big Apple Con. Okay. Well, while we're talking about toys, I got a couple more quick toy things, so we'll stick with that for right now.
Okay.
Diamond Select has made an announcement that it has acquired a license to create product based on 24.
On 24 what?
The show 24.
Oh. Wow. Exciting.
They're going to be doing 12-inch figures, and it looks like Art Asylum through Diamond Select is going to be doing Mini Mates. The Mini Mates, to be completely and totally honest with you, I'm done with Mini Mates. I was done with Mini Mates about a week after they came out. About the only purpose they serve for me now are those cute little online episodes that they do with them. Like they did those two or three little X-Men shorts. They were kind of funny. They had an entertainment purpose. But for collectability and as far as product goes, they really just are useless as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm out.
But
in fact, out there, listeners, if you're interested in a semi-complete collection of Mini Mates, drop us a line at BigKezGeekStuff.com.
But the 12-inch line, I'm pretty excited about. I can only hope that Diamond Select handles it properly. To be honest with you, I've been happy with some of the product they've put out in the past. I thought the Stargate toys were very good. I'm not a huge Stargate fan, so I don't really have many of them, but I thought they were good.
So are you a fan of the show 24?
I'm a huge fan of the show 24.
You are. And what is the appeal for you in having a figure of Kiefer Sutherland?
Well,
I don't get it.
You
he's
know
sexy.
What?
Sexy.
You know what? My toy collection has really evolved as the industry has evolved. At the beginning, it was much like everybody else's. It was a bunch of Star Wars pieces, and it was a bunch of Marvel pieces, and a handful of DC pieces and stuff like that. But as these companies started really getting into movie and television shows, and as my like for those shows and movies has grown, I like to have representations, physical representations of things that I enjoy in my personal collection. Much the same way that I have a DVD library and a book library, my action figure collection is almost a library of things that I really appreciate. And as a big fan of 24, following it from the very beginning, I'm happy to have collectibles from it. And I've been dying to get my hands on that Mediacom Jack, and I know I never will, so Diamond Select will work.
No, it's Hot Toys, isn't it?
Well, maybe Hot Toys did it, but Mediacom distributed it. Because I remember when it was at Toy Fair, and it was the rage, and I didn't get one.
I'm just hoping that Diamond Select does this right and smart and does Alicia Cuthbert.
Well, you know what? Diamond Select, not afraid to do female figures. Remember, Diamond Select puts out all those Buffy figures, and they've done entire lines based on Faith, entire lines based on Willow.
There's more Willow action figures than there are Luke Skywalkers.
I know. So but my point being is that they're not afraid to tackle a female character if it's popular. So I think that the chances of seeing an Alicia Cuthbert figure, probably very good.
Or two.
Or
Kev's
two.
Previous
or naked.
Statement has been revoked, for the record.
Okay.
Hey, I'm just going to add her to my hot chicks collection.
Exactly.
All right.
In some sad news, however, the Star Wars Mr. Potato Head line coming to an end.
Now that's one
Why?
I'm really going to miss. I know he loves it. I
love it too. And to be honest with you, and although I'm not
Darth
100%
Tater?
Positive,
Spud Trooper?
I think the R2-D2 one is the last one. Which I still don't have, by the way. I need to get one of those.
What is he called? He's not R2-D2. He's something else.
Yeah, I forget what he's called. But anyway, they have acquired two new licenses to do Mr. Potato Head. And both, I'm pretty excited about. One would be...
Wait. But they haven't... So they're just deciding not to do them in
Yeah, they're not producing them any longer.
Instead of that, they're going to be producing these new ones.
I'm guessing they're moving on. They've probably figured
if
how many more
they
can do.
Say Pirates of the Caribbean Potato.
Nope, they are not.
I'll bake you right here.
You know what? They are not doing Pirates of the Caribbean Potato. What they are doing...
If you say Transformers Potato...
What they are doing...
You motherfucker. I swear to Christ.
What they are doing...
I'll come over to this console.
Let me get to it, please. They are doing Spider Spud. I have picked up a Spider-Man license.
Because Mr. Potato Head is very agile, just like Spider-Man.
And they are doing Optimash Prime.
Jesus Christ. Are there any images yet?
No.
Of course not. Optimash Prime.
At least it's a good name.
Oh, is it? What's the other one? Sputterman?
I have it. Although I agree with that, I think that's funnier. They have it listed as, or what I saw, had it listed as Spider Spud. Since we're talking about Optimash Prime, fantastic. Will you cue the stinger, please?
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face.
You've got to believe me, officer. He is coming to Haddonfield.
And there it is, the stinger.
That's not the stinger.
What do you mean?
There's no Halloween news this week. Bah! To Halloween.
There's always Halloween news, my friend.
What is it?
The Halloween news this week is that the production is on schedule and moving forward with Dr. Loomis being portrayed by Malcolm McDowell, and Tyler Mane seems to have sewn up the role. So everything's moving forward. And that's your Halloween remake Rob Zombie news.
Can I go on now?
Sure.
Transformers
movie!
Matt's losing his mind.
They've released some preliminary images of the first two figures from the movie, Optimus Prime and Starscream, in their protoform modes, which is, as I've come to understand, the modes when they first come from Cybertron and they kind of acquire the new, Earth modes, mm-hmm. which would be Prime as the truck and Starscream mm-hmm. as the jet. So those are online. You could see them. I actually think that Toy Fair magazine has images of them online right now, so you could check them out there.
Wow.
In addition to that, it also looks like Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg have just about wrapped things up on getting Frank Welker to reprise his voice role as Megatron.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool.
So we've got Peter Cullen, Frank Welker, doing very well so far, voice-wise.
Well, they haven't actually got him yet, though.
No, but they're putting the finishing touches on it. I can't imagine he's doing much of anything else.
The Starscream guy's dead, isn't he?
Starscream is sadly dead, so yeah, I don't know
Chris
what they're going to do.
Chris Latta, the same guy who did the voice of Cobra Commander. One of the greatest voices in animation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Starscream!
Exactly. And, since we're talking about Megatron, there was also a new full-body image of Megatron released online today. You could see that online. It's everywhere. If you just Google Megatron, it's...
So what else is going on?
That's it. That's all the Transformers news.
Thank God.
You know, you guys are just so hateful. Why you gotta bring the hate
for? We're not
for?
Hate.
It's hate. It's
I
hate.
Want to give a little bit of comic news today. It's very exciting.
God. Comic books.
I was excited when I first saw that.
This is a brand new book came out today from, I guess this is AP Manga, Antarctic
Press. It's Antarctic Press, the same company that has brought us Ninja High School through the years.
Right. And I don't like the anime, as we know.
I know.
I'm not all big right. into the anime. However, I do want to say that I picked this up today simply for the title. Pirates versus Ninjas,
do it again.
Issue 1.
Do it again.
Pirates versus Ninjas, issue 1.
Not going to lie. I was very excited. Very excited. Then I read it. Very disappointed.
There was a similar issue of, I believe, Dragon Magazine about 2 years ago that approached this very topic.
You know what?
Included something on pirates and on ninjas in one, you know, just to serve the cliche.
There is this huge online community dedicated to pirates versus ninjas. If you spend any amount of time on YouTube or MySpace or any of the, you will see it's amazing. There are pirates versus ninjas message boards. People declare sides and are very loyal. There are fan films that are made continually.
I thought it stemmed from the fact that whenever you play a game, most of the time, the most popular characters that are chosen are usually like the assassin, or usually the, say, like the smuggler, or the pirate type character, or the ninja. And it's always the easy character to play. So somebody chooses them because they think that they're lethal or cool in some way. You know, there's not a lot of mages running around with kids who just jump into a game for the first time.
Right.
So I thought that's where it came from.
Well, you know what? I'd have to say that probably at its very origin, that is probably where it came from. But it really has morphed into this entire other
something weird
life form. It's kind of like a chia pet almost. It just keeps growing and it's terrible.
Well, let me just say that issue one has hit the newsstands.
Sadly.
It's a black and white book.
Kind of like that.
Which is kind of upsetting because this would probably have looked stellar in color.
It looks good from here.
And I'm, you know, again, very stylized, very anime influenced, and so on and so forth. But what I'd like to point out here is on the back, inside back cover, if pirates and ninjas fought, who would win? And they want you to check out piratesversusninjas.net, mm-hmm. where you can get, I guess, T-shirts, merchandise, history calendar, links, news, poll, and more. And it's actually all spelled out, pirates, P-I-R-A-T-E-S, versus V-E-R-S-U-S, ninjas, N-I-N-J-A-S.net.
I told you.
You guys can check that out and be part of the ongoing debate.
Well, I am pirate.
I'm going with pirate. I'm going with pirate. I'm going to bet Fantastic going with ninjas.
Why not? I could take you both on.
Of course you can. You could kill us with your breath. Your lethal breath.
That's terrible.
Hey, I'm immune to it. He'd kill you.
Good. So Bob Shea from New Line Cinema has said, Peter Jackson... no longer welcome.
Seriously, and he's pissed.
He is wicked pissed. And you know what? I read about it today, and I kind of read a little bit more into it than I had previously. And I hate to say it, but I don't hate to say it, but you know, at first I thought maybe Peter Jackson was just kind of being money hungry. I wholeheartedly agree with Peter Jackson. I'm not afraid to say it. I think that he is pursuing it now because New Line is just being pricks about it. I really do.
If they owe Peter Jackson money, they should give it to him immediately.
You know what?
Before they lose the opportunity. Here's the thing. The Hobbit.
At this point, it's not even a matter of whether or not they owe him money. I think it's gone way past that. At this point, it's really just a matter of New Line is just saying, fuck you, Peter Jackson. And how dare they? Peter Jackson almost single-handedly revived that company.
Mm-hmm.
Only helped that company put out what some would consider to be the best movie trilogy ever over the original Star Wars trilogy. How do they say fuck you to that guy? They should be sucking his dick if he wants him to.
Yeah.
I see where they say, you know, I just don't get where they're coming from, and I don't get the argument. I heard, what's the guy's name? What's the exec's name?
Bob Shea.
I heard him say a couple times, we already gave him, and I believe it's $250 million.
Yeah.
Something on that. And he says that a couple times, like, if you go into business with somebody, and you think that you're better than that person, that you give them so much money that they don't know what to do with, eventually you're like out of the contract and you just don't owe them anything anymore because you paid them a lot.
And you know what? New Line really is looking bad in this whole deal. You know, Peter Jackson is saying, look, if you're convinced that you've paid me what you owe me, then allow your financial records to be investigated to prove that you're correct. And New Line is saying, no, we're not opening those books up to anybody.
And not only that, but... get the fuck out and don't let the door hit you in the ass.
So now what this does is now, again, it throws into question what's going to happen with the Hobbit film. Well, there are a couple of things that can happen here. New Line can say fuck you to the fans, fuck you to Peter Jackson, fuck you to Tolkien, in a sense, and go forward with a Hobbit film on their own. No Jackson. Problem is, Ian McKellen has already come out and said, no Jackson, no me.
What a guy.
Well, good for Ian McKellen for standing behind Peter Jackson.
That's a stand-up move.
And you know what? To go forward and do a Hobbit movie without Ian McKellen would be a shame. How could you recast Gandalf?
And the thing that I think matters is where do the fans stand?
Oh, the fans undoubtedly stand with Peter Jackson.
Indubitably.
I mean, there, as well, a matter of fact, at this point, the
there
fans...
There are keyboards across the country that are burning up right now from overuse, commenting on the fact that they will not see this movie
if
Peter Jackson doesn't make
it. The fans are praying that New Line doesn't do anything, that the contract lapses, which New Line only has a small amount of time left to go into production on a film.
Like 15 months,
and that
right?
MGM gets the rights back, because that's what happens when it lapses. MGM gets it back. Uh-huh. And MGM has already said... Fuck yeah, we're going to hire Peter Jackson and anybody else that wants to do it that's from the original trilogy that wants a part of it.
Doesn't seem like a very wise move on New Line's part.
It seems ridiculous. If they're arguing over pennies, because once you get into the quarter of billions of dollars, anything else has to be pennies at this point. If you're arguing over pennies and you're putting in jeopardy a movie that will make you not only a ton of money at the box office, but you know a ton of money both in merchandise and in DVD sales, you're putting a lot in jeopardy here.
And not a single movie, because Peter Jackson has repeatedly said that The Hobbit would be two movies and that another movie would be possible as well. Some other material movie from the Tolkien universe.
Well, I think that New Line and Peter Jackson have gotten into a cockfight, and I hope that Peter Jackson comes out on top, because New Line, I think, is really biting the hand that feeds him at this point.
What else?
M. Night Shyamalan?
Yeah.
Next big movie? Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Wow.
Swear to God.
Based on the hit anime?
Based on the hit animated series on Nickelodeon. We've actually talked about the show
this
program
yeah.
before. Both of us have agreed that it is a pretty interesting show, pretty interesting concept. M. Night Shyamalan, however? Well, I think there are pros and cons to this. I think M. Night Shyamalan has proven now that perhaps his creative well has temporarily dried up, and maybe he needs to look to other sources for inspiration. And he has expressed interest
in
the past.
Hey, I like Lady in the Water.
And The Village?
I like that too.
The most predictable movie ever.
I'm just wondering what the secret surprise will be in Last Airbender.
Well, you know what? M. Night Shyamalan has, in the past, expressed interest in doing children's movies. He actually expressed interest in Harry Potter. I believe the last two films, he's tried to get into that director's role and has been thankfully denied both times, in my personal opinion. So, why he's been brought on to do Avatar? I don't know, but it actually looks like it might be a trilogy as well. So they're really pushing him to develop the series and the product. So good for him.
We'll
good
see
for
if
them.
That actually happens.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, these days with the high cost of production, it's not even worth it to make anything that's less than a trilogy. You know, when they make a movie and they start bringing out additional merchandise, the thing that they're aiming for is those repeat customers and just being able to reuse those characters.
And not only that, but now going back to something that Peter Jackson really perfected with Lord of the Rings, they are producing these trilogies back to back to back, right next to each other.
At the same time.
At the same time. Yeah. I mean, they're shooting parts from the third movie, you know, the same day they're shooting parts from the second film. I mean, it's really impressive.
And we are talking about a live action flick, right?
I believe so, yes. Hmm. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's
with
a good license. I mean,
it is a good license.
If it's done well, it could be really good.
Sure.
So, interesting.
Sam Raimi has let some small nugget of information slip about Spider-Man, and not Spider-Man 3.
Is it that he's Peter Parker?
No,
because I knew that shit already.
No, Spider-Man 4. He let slip that while he doesn't think that certain actors will return for Spider-Man 4, actors like Tobey Maguire, who has said that he's not so sure he's going to return. He does say that more than likely Bryce Dallas Howard would return for a fourth film, which kind of leads us to believe that a couple of things. A, Gwen Stacy survives the third film.
Which is interesting.
Right. And B, that for him to make a comment like that, there must be some sort of preliminary story out there that involves her. You would think, right? I mean, to say that, I would think so.
Well, let's see. The fact that she survives, number one, means that the only possible way that she could meet her demise in two and have it be any kind of associated at all with the original character would be that Harry kills her.
Right.
So that must be out.
Well, unless Harry kills her in four.
Well, unless yeah, I guess
because
unless Harry
we've kills been her in saying
four.
Since the first film that Harry eventually has to take the forefront as the lead villain in the film. It's inevitable. They've been building up to it. It seems like they're building a lot towards it in the third film. So for a fourth film, you could see, or it would make sense to see Harry finally take that role as the lead villain in the film, and potentially then the Gwen Stacy storyline would make sense.
I just wish that he would hook up with Hermione and just kick Ron's ass right out of there. And then,
wait, what?
And then start, you know, if he would just use his wand against these guys instead of all this webbing and slinging around and stuff, I mean, it would be so much more action-packed.
I thought that I fell asleep for a second.
I still don't know where I am. I think I've woken up in the land of dreams.
I think I'm confusing my Harry.
I think so too. Sweet tarts.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, sweet tarts are cool.
So anyway, we'll have to see what happens. We have to get through the third film first before we can even begin to really think about or question the fourth film. So I have one last thing. Do you have anything else?
That's Spider-Man Order of the Phoenix.
Yes, exactly. Do you have anything else before I get into my last little bit here?
No.
I've saved the best for last, mind you. This is very important. Actually, we do have something else, but it's not really news related.
Okay.
Halle Berry. Won favorite female action star at the People's Choice Awards this week.
She is good.
For her
she
role
is really good.
As Storm.
Oh, really?
And X3. Really good in that.
Who was she up against? Ooh. What paraplegic was she up against?
I don't know. Maybe Uma Thurman in My Super Ex-Girlfriend.
Really?
Don't even, no, I don't know. To
I
be
enjoyed that
you,
performance better than I did.
But you know what? That just tells me the people are stupid, which I think we've kind of known already. That's not really news. Really, what I think is most interesting is that she is feverishly campaigning for an X-Men 4.
Bullshit.
She made an
shenanigans.
She made an announcement.
I call shenanigans.
She made.
She is placating to the audience that got her that award.
You know what?
I want to play this role again. She bitched and moaned about the role going into the second movie that she didn't want to do it unless all these conditions were met. In the third movie, it was the same way. Bitched and moaned about all these.
While I would love to agree with you, if that's the case, then why would she be telling fans that they need to write Fox and she, you know, there's a website set up now for the fans to get X4 made, and she's supporting the website and she's plugging the website and she says that she's there to do it and she really wants to take on a role in the film? And why would she be doing that?
I'd like to answer that question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Politics.
Okay.
These are the people that are going to go see her in her next movies. And now that she's really placating the geek crowd is going to come out for whatever piece of garbage she puts out next. Yeah? Why isn't she petitioning for another Catwoman movie where she was the lead character? Because she didn't win a People's Choice Award for playing the part. It's politics. It's Hollywood bullshit politics.
Well...
And when you know what, and when and if X4 does get made, you watch and listen, and I bet you anything, the same reports will come out. If she actually does the movie, it'll be reports that she was difficult to come to terms with, and that she had all these riders on her contract that needed to be addressed and completed, you know, and all these ridiculous things to get her in the movie. And she's such not a lead. Storm is not a lead character. I don't care what anybody says. In fact, the fact that she was even remotely a lead in the third film bugged the shit out of everyone who saw it and knows anything about the franchise.
Because she's horrendous, but...
I mean, it's ridiculous, and this is more bullshit Hollywood politics.
Okay.
Fantastic?
Yeah, I had all this stuff already because it pisses me off to no end, but I don't want to give her any more attention, so I'm going to bow out.
Good. Graceful, and that is Mr. Fantastic.
It is. It's true. Well, we can move right then into the holy shit movie trailer of the week segment of the show. We've got two trailers this week.
We've got no stinger for this.
We have no stinger for this. That's okay. We don't need stingers.
Have to work on that.
Maybe. Epic movie.
Oh, holy shit. Was that funny?
Pretty funny, right?
Yeah, it was really funny.
It looks like it could be better than most of the other films in this genre. It looks that way, mind you.
Now, let's explain that this genre, by the genre, we mean satire movies.
Right.
Like... Scary Movie series.
Right.
Date Movie is
not
a recent
teen
example.
Movie.
Not Another Teen Movie, which to me is a tough one to beat.
Yes, I would put the Broken Lizard films in this category. And you can even say that some of the more recent National Lampoon's films, the
there's
ones
also
that are
one out there
to DVD.
Right. There's also one category out there that's supposedly very funny called My Big Fat Independent Movie.
Right, which I have not seen yet.
Funny. Yeah, it's these types of movies. Mm-hmm. And now the latest epic movie covers, well, our genre in many aspects.
It really is almost entirely based around what we talk about on the show. I mean, we're talking about Pirates of the Caribbean. We're talking about X-Men, Harry Potter. Superman was in there.
Right.
I'm trying to think what Chronicles of Narnia was in there.
You're talking about that. I'm not.
Well, it's in there.
Crapicles of Narnia.
And one could argue that it's in our genre. Needless to say, the trailer looks really, really funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
A couple of the snippets in it are definitely worth checking out. You can get it on Apple.com if you go to their movie trailer site. And give it a
watch. What was the second trailer?
Fanboys.
Holy shit!
Yeah. Okay. We briefly talked about Fanboys a long time ago. Like, I don't think it was the single digits episodes, but it might have been like in the teens somewhere.
Right, a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago at this point. And the trailer is finally out. It's making its rounds, although it's a bitch to find. Go to YouTube, because that's about the only place that I can find a good copy of it at this point.
I say Google Fanboys trailer. See what you come up with. I can't believe it's not on Apple. That's just...
Or Yahoo. I don't. Maybe it's too low-key for both of those.
Or too early.
But... because it's August, right?
Yeah, is that what we're talking about? It's a long time ago.
Oh, by the way, Epic Movie is late January, I believe.
Oh, that's good.
So, but Fanboys. It's about, if you don't remember, a group of Star Wars geeks. I'm talking about, you know, dressing up in the storm.
Yeah, too geeky for us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, 501st kind of stormtrooper gear, right. Star Wars geeks. The film
Not
takes
that we don't
place.
Love them.
No, we love them very much. Just... Not like our particular.
Like a crazy uncle.
Exactly. The film takes place right before or 6 months prior to the opening of episode one in the theaters.
That was a good one.
Oh, well, no, it wasn't. No.
What were you, six when that opened?
You should be ashamed.
What's wrong with you?
And it's about a group of guys who decide they want to see the movie prior to its theatrical release.
Right. So it's what, some 1998? Somewhere around there. And they're waiting for... The Phantom Menace to arrive.
Correct.
And they're very excited about it. And you see, I guess their plan is to see it before it opens by stealing a print.
From Skywalker Ranch.
From Skywalker Ranch.
And it's pretty much about their misadventures in getting to Skywalker Ranch.
Right.
You know, they've got this A-team rape van with the New Hope logo.
It looks like the,
painted
it looks like
on
the Mr.
Side
T van from the A-team van.
The rape van, you know?
A rape van?
Yeah, you know, no windows.
I'm not a not familiar with the
rape van.
I've never been in a rape van.
Yeah. No, but you've never heard that term before?
No.
Anyway.
Neither have I.
That's what they're called. No windows.
Rape van?
Yeah. Because there's no windows, and the only windows are on the back door, and they're real dark. That's what it's called. It's called a rape van. Anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've got one of those. It's got the Star Wars New Hope logo painted on the side
like
of the van.
Airbrushed.
Like, huge, you know? And it looks really hilarious. I mean, I know Kev has a particular part of the trailer that he is overly jazzed about.
So. Yeah. It seems that they're in, I want to say it's Vegas, but I'm not sure exactly. But the two of the characters are meeting secretly in deep throat fashion with some informant who tosses them passcodes and blueprints and all sorts of things. And the person goes, "Wow, how'd you score all this stuff?" And the deep throat guy steps out of the shadows and goes, "I'm William Shatner. I can score anything." And it's William Shatner. So that's kind of great. And then there's another part also, again, that kind of addresses the whole Star Wars versus Star Trek when the Star Wars guys end up at a Star Trek convention, which, again, is very interesting. It's a lot of subculture cross-clashing there that goes on, which is really it's kind of fun that they, you know, are digging this deep and getting into the storyline this way. So check out Fanboys, the trailer. You'll see some exciting stuff in there. And I can't wait for that to come out.
I can't wait to find out how it ends. It's got to be with extreme disappointment on the side of the people who go through all these hoops.
I know. That's the natural ending of that, to that flick is, oh, my God, what a piece of shit that movie was. I can't believe we went through all this.
Yeah, but if it actually does end that way, that's brilliant. That makes it even funnier.
Hey, I think the tagline should be this year's free enterprise.
Wow. That's a bold statement.
That is exactly what the movie tagline should be. This year's free enterprise.
It's a bold statement.
Remember when, you remember like a British movie would come out and become like really popular? Like Trainspotting came out and did huge numbers. And then every British film that came out for like the next 3 years was this year's Trainspotting.
Yeah, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
This year's Trainspotting. And what was the other one, too? And then the Full Monty came out, like, as funny as Full... The Englishman that went up a hill and came down a mountain, as funny as the Full Monty, had nothing whatsoever to do with anything, except they were both... They both took place in the British Isles.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, or that other one. What was it? Waking Ned Devine. Oh, this God. Year's Full Monty. Is it... I hated that shit. But yeah. I think that would be a great tagline for this film, because it's exactly, again, it's exploring... kind of the subculture of the genre without actually exploring the subject matter, mm-hmm. per se. Another film that does this fairly well, that's more mainstream, if you haven't checked out, you should, Galaxy Quest.
Ooh, yeah, that's
again,
true.
Which really examines the subculture of Star Trek without actually calling it Star Trek, without actually it being Star
and
Trek.
And an all-star cast, I might add, to Galaxy Quest.
Really, really big
Tony
cast.
Shalhoub? Awesome.
Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver. What's his name? Sam Rockwell?
Sam Rockwell. Oh, yeah, it's the red shirt.
Sam Rockwell.
Well, the equivalent of the red shirt.
Yeah, there's a bunch of... And that kid who does all the Apple commercials.
Yeah, and he was in Dodgeball and Accepted.
Yeah, he's getting up there waiting. Yeah, that kid. Yeah. His name I forget. Fantastic. Could you look up for me, please, the name of the kid... who starred in most recently Accepted. He also plays the part of Mac in the Mac versus PC commercials that you find on TV.
And while you're at it, also you can look up the female in Galaxy Quest, the lead female alien, who was in Josie and the Pussycats.
Missy Pyle.
Oh,
Missy Pyle.
Okay, you don't have to look that one up. We conquered it.
I got that one. Yeah, she's hot. She was also in Charlie and Chocolate Factory. She was also in Dodgeball.
Mother.
Not Veruca's mother.
She was that awful unibrowed bucktooth Russian chick.
Transfer complete.
Yeah, the character's name is Brandon and the actor's name is Justin Long.
Oh, Justin Long.
Yes, that's it. Justin Long.
So if you haven't checked out Free Enterprise or Galaxy Quest, definitely should check it out. And you can use those as something to whet your appetite for the coming of Fanboys this August.
Matt, it's Big Apple Con's 10-year anniversary.
Go Big Apple Con.
And they are celebrating with a fan appreciation show this Friday and Saturday.
What does that mean for the fans, Kev?
That means Friday, January 19th, and Saturday, January 20th, all attendees of Big Apple Con get in for free.
That is awesome.
Free admission to this great New York show.
Who's going to be there, Kev?
TV legend Soupy Sales.
Ooh.
Also a TV legend from The Honeymooners, Joyce Randolph.
The last remaining.
David Harris from The Warriors. Professional wrestler King Kong Bundy.
Wow, he's a classic.
TV favorite Ron Palillo.
I haven't seen him at a con in a long time.
As well as Big Kev from Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Yeah, you're going to be there, huh?
I am going to be there.
I can't make this one, I'm sad to say.
You can't?
No.
You and Fantastic are leaving me alone.
Needless to say, on Friday, January 19th, the show will be open from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. And on Saturday the 20th, it'll be open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's at the Penn Plaza Pavilion, as always. And for more information, you can go to BigAppleCon.com.
That's right. It's BigAppleCon.com's 10th anniversary fan appreciation show. Stupid cake. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, the upcoming comic book Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Shadow Flame is written and drawn by Joe Martino and is a story of murder, suicide, genocide, and rebirth on a cosmic scale. It is a story of redemption and a man who has nothing to lose and becomes Earth's only hope.
So ask for Shadow Flame at your local comics retailer coming this February.
For more information, you can go to arcanastudio.com. That's ArcanaStudio.com.
Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Hello, this is Neil Gaiman, writer of lots of different things, really, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
We are back with episode 41 of Geek Stuff Aftershocks.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a little product review now, like we do.
Yes, we are.
This time the focus, accoutrements.
Yes, we're going to revisit our friends at Accoutrements, and so you can play along at home. It's accoutrements.com, A-C-C-O-U-T-R-E-M-E-N-T-S,
mm-hmm.
accoutrements.com. These guys are wacky.
Yeah, you know, these are the guys, if you're not familiar with them, that put out some of those kind of like nondescript action figures, or they put out like the famous people in history action figures.
Right, we kind of talked about those. We talked about some of those several weeks, again, early, back in the teens. And we're very excited to get and review more product from Accoutrements because they always have such wacky stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, nobody else is putting out, you know, the crazy cat lady action figure. Or
and most people have gotten one of these figures, and if they haven't gotten one, they've at least seen one. And even if you didn't know that it came from Accoutrements, chances are that it probably did.
Right.
They do these Edgar Allan Poe, Bigfoot.
Yeah, crazy cat lady.
Right, crazy.
Shakespeare.
Albino the bowler. Albino bowler. I mean, it's stuff, these really wacky kind of action figures. Oh, Houdini. Maybe one of the best action figures, packaging and so on and so forth that I've ever seen. I love that piece. Yeah,
Albert Einstein was one of them too.
Right. And but they do other things. And we're going to talk about a couple of those other things here tonight. And again, we're going to look forward to more things from Accoutrements because they have such great lines. And there's a couple of them here tonight that we're going to talk about that I think are, well, one of them particularly that I think is one of the funniest things out there. And it really has no conceivable end and can just become bigger and bigger, in my opinion.
I want to start with something that probably kind of falls somewhat in that line that we've already talked about. This would be the Avenging Narwhale playset.
Right.
The Narwhale, nature's unicorn. That's what the packaging says.
Right.
And it comes with four magical tusks. And
that Narwhale, he kind of looks like a sea lion, but he has like a horn.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a unicorn sea lion.
Yeah.
Weird.
And the one in the package, he's got the ruby tusk on, which drains the blood of its victims. And funny that they should classify it as that, because it is piercing a baby sea lion
right.
on the figure.
So it comes with, are they calling them victims?
No, they're not. I don't think they are calling them victims, but they're calling them natural enemies.
Oh, natural enemies. Okay.
Okay.
Of the narwhal. And there's a perforation in the natural enemy's stomach so that you can skewer them on the end of the narwhal.
Yeah. I mean, it comes with the seal, which is being skewered already. And then there's a penguin and a koala bear.
Now, how is a koala bear the natural enemy of narwhal?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea, but the four tusks, there's ruby, which I said already drains the blood of its victims, onyx, instant paralysis, crystal, mind control, hypnosis, and global communication, and ice, freezes water, creates icebergs, chills beverages. So the narwhal, nature's unicorn, definitely an obscure little piece, a piece that I wish to have in my personal collection.
That's really funny.
That is really funny.
I mean, that they skewer these little tiny cute, and the natural enemies are all cute little animals.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy,
and
actually.
You skewer them onto the horn. That's amazing.
That's awful.
Well, I'm going to talk about, I'm going to start right with this piece called Cap'n Danger Stunt Monkey.
Ooh!
And it's basically, I mean, you're talking about a very simple little idea here. It's what, maybe 40 or 50 years old. It's just a form figure that comes attached with a parachute.
Yeah.
And you roll it up and you throw Cap'n Danger in the air, and he floats to Earth safely with a nylon parachute and tangle-resistant harness. That's it. The difference here is that Cap'n Danger is indeed a monkey.
And he also has a paint scheme that's going on. If you remember those old, like, paratrooper toys, it was like generic giant red or green army man with cheap, easily ripping parachute attached to his back with kite string.
I like to point out that Cap'n Danger also has 2 points of articulation.
Ooh, really?
Yes, at his elbows.
Oh, my God.
And maybe his wrists also, though. I can't really tell. And at the moment. And regardless of these points of articulation, the fun here comes from, of course, tossing him in the air, where the Cap'n Danger stunt monkey chute opens in full with the logo on the side of it. And it's just, you know what? It's just a fun, fun little toy.
Going back to the narwhal real quick, as long as you brought up articulation, I'd like to point out that the narwhal himself has articulation in both the tail and fins. Nature's enemies have articulation in the head.
Wow. I hope
the chest, perhaps, if you consider that articulation.
I hope that Toy Biz doesn't scoop the narwhal license away and put in 38 more points of articulation.
When you first started to introduce this thing, just in terms of the name of it, the narwhal, and then you were like, I was like, oh God, it's a seal with a horn or anything. But when I actually picked up the package and took a look at it, that is like the perfect thing to have on your desk at work.
That's what
if you hate your job and you want to tell everybody else around you, go fuck off.
That's why I want it.
There's a lot. You know, Accoutrements is really the company for that kind of product. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. They do a lot of things that you want to put on your desk, or you want to, you know, put out for your coworkers to see, or that you want to decorate your house. They have some great stuff to decorate the house with. Also, we're going to be talking about some of that stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
Down the line as we are allowed to review it.
Uh-huh.
And it's just that kind of thing. They're novelties, but they're like a step. They're like the next step above novelties.
Sure.
They're more than just novelties. They have a funny play factor, and I'm actually torn before we move on. I know you want me to move on, but I can't decide which one of these two I like more.
I think you gotta
like
save
more.
That one.
Save this one?
I think so.
I really like this.
Okay, so save that one. They're both really great.
I don't know.
Fantastic. We'll just go forward with it.
Which one do you think I should do first?
A or B, fantastic.
A.
Are we going to do them both today?
Or yeah. B, yeah.
Go with the bigger one first, because I want to talk about the little one.
Well, the little one is actually part of a bigger thing, which is why I wanted to do that. Okay, here we go. In what looks to me about an 18-inch blister, which I've never seen before, we are presented with accoutrements horrified B-movie victims. And the tagline is, we provide the screaming hordes, you provide the monster. And they're basically, they're what, 2.5-3 inch PVC characters of screaming, I want to say 50s styled people who are running away or looking in horror at something.
Really, what this does is it makes me want to go back to the flea market this weekend and find the giant, the biggest fake giant lizard that I could find and do like a 50s style. Horror film, sci-fi scape somewhere.
Right. Where that's exactly what this is. This is exactly that. It's a bunch of very generic characters. I said 50s styled, I want to say, 50s, late 50s, early 60s, B-movie styled characters. You have, and a couple of typical ones I want to add here too. You have the blonde girl who has fallen because her shoe has fallen
right.
off. So she has only one shoe. You have the couple running in tandem together, hand in hand. It's awesome. It's very, I mean, this is a genius thing.
Is it nine individual? It's nine people, but is it only eight figures because you have the tandem couple that's one piece connected
yeah.
at the base?
Yeah, they're connected at the base, but okay. yeah, it's nine figures overall with those two comprising one base.
That really is genius.
This reminds me, and I wish that people would do this, but this reminds me of those Dickens Village Christmas figures.
Yeah.
They're slightly bigger than that.
Everybody has, and they're like, you know, just really junk. Like, you put them out there for a month or whatever it is, and you buy them for your mom or your grandmother, and they build these villages. How fun would it be if, rather than that crap they put out there, that they actually went to the flea market and bought a giant thing and then had some of those houses and these guys populating the streets instead?
What we need is...
good that you bring that up. Wait, hold on one second. That's good that you bring that up, Fantastic, because you know what? These actually, to me, they almost look like Lionel scale.
Yeah.
Like Lionel train scale. They almost look... I mean, Lionel train's like about that.
The bigger scale of Lionel
trains.
Yeah,
The biggest scale.
You know what? Those would be great if someone were to take Zombies the Game and produce slightly larger zombies.
Right.
Again, this is us bringing these figures into a gaming element. But really, that would be awesome to play a game like Zombies.
Right.
But with these.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
What was the joke we were talking about in the back room before we came on tonight? That the Marvel Legends Hulk?
Yeah, that's actually brilliant. And I know because I came up with it. I said that these are the figures that are actually in scale. Fantastic. Can you hand me right from over here in the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive waiting area? Can you hand me that Marvel Legends Loose Hulk that's there? Yeah, that one. Thank you. Now, see, if you compare, right? Look, I mean, this makes sense.
Maybe he's a little too big, but it's close.
Well, all right, then. Then he's perfect for the movie.
Yeah.
Then they're perfectly scaled for the movie Hulk.
Yeah, there you go.
See, that's kind of almost right.
Almost. He's a little too big, I think.
Yeah, but still, they'd be running away if this guy was running down the street.
Actually, you could probably do a little escape with that.
I can make my own Hulk movie. Probably be better than Ang Lee's.
There are no dogs in that packaging, though. So.
Woof.
Exactly.
Yeah, like that whole movie, which was a dog.
Exactly.
Ugh. Well, anyway, horrified B-movie victims. You get nine characters in the pack here. Generic. They're great for photo ops. Again, something on the desk. You know, like you have a picture of the boss and you put them in front of the boss.
Running away from the boss.
But again, it crosses the barriers from being something like that to something, terribly interesting.
Actually, Fantastic gave me a brilliant idea. My mother is one of those Christmas fanatics that has one of those villages, and I think next year I'm going to try to take a couple of these and slip them into the village scape and see how long it takes her to notice.
Hey, you know, speaking of those village scapes, they have a port one that's like pirates.
Yes, I've seen that. I know.
I think we should investigate that a little
further.
It's
dangerous. It's very dangerous.
We're going to become old ladies.
We are.
We're going to be collecting our Hallmark peer bits.
I like the Hummel.
Ew.
Precious moments.
I wasn't bringing it there. At least it's fucking pirates, what I was talking about. Hummels? Fag.
We do have one more figure thing we want to talk about, but...
Yeah,
before
but let's
we
do,
get to
yeah,
that,
let's do that first.
Let's do this.
Okay.
This is the Tickles Tapeworm Apple Scented Air Freshener. This looks like the face of a tapeworm on one side. And on the other side, it's the full body of the tapeworm. And it's ParasitePals.com. It's kind of a little offshoot that Accoutrements is doing to break away from their figure lines and to get more into other types of licenses.
Right. This is some of their other products that we were talking about. They're fun. They're goofy little things that they do. And I think this one's really funny.
You know, I'm looking at it.
Send them to the website. That's all I'm going to say.
You just have to go. Trust me on this one. Go to www.parasitepals.com. Look at Tickles the Tapeworm and then let us know what you think.
Right. Parasitepals.com. And what did you say what that was?
It's an air freshener. Apple scented.
Apple scented air freshener of what?
Of Tickles the Tapeworm.
You said that already? Did I miss
it? Like 100 times.
Yeah, you were like dancing around or something. I don't know what you were doing.
Well, then I'm going to go right into the final piece that we're going to be talking about from Accoutrements tonight.
I need all of those.
Everyone.
I want more of those than are there.
I don't know how many of them there are. I want to say there's, I mean, to me it looks like, I don't even, 30.
I'm going to eBay or
something.
Or Entertainment Earth tonight. And I'm seeing if I can find all of those.
Actually, you can go right to, you can probably purchase these
right from Accoutrements. Yeah. Oh, well, maybe I'll go there then.
And they are fantastic. This is their series called The Cubes. And The Cubes is basically
my life outside of geek stuff.
Yeah, kind of. You're right. It's cubicles. They're little cube people. They have square heads and kind of very generically square sort of bodies.
It's in the Kubrick Mini Mate Pal kind of sense. Right. That's the kind of thing we're looking
simple
at.
Simple figures. They have shoulder articulation. They might have wrist articulation, knees, ankles, and head. The heads are square.
Right.
Again, I guess that has to do with it being the cubes, you would think, except for the fact that they're all cubicles. Like work cubicles,
right?
With a desk, and they have computers and filing cabinets and interesting things like posters and memos and those inspirational things. All manner of accoutrements for an office area. And they make such characters as the delivery guy who's all in brown.
Right.
And they have a copy machine, looks like a copy center here. And the one that we've gotten here is actually really funny. It's the glow-in-the-dark corporate zombies, which you kind of just filter in to your cubes collection. The picture they show on the back, which I'm sure you can probably see on the website also, is just this massive set of cubicles that are set up, and it just looks like a working office with these little people, but they have these zombies walking around the office.
Yeah, it's great. It's really a funny idea. Again, though, something you'd want to display at work to say, yeah, fuck this.
Yeah, and they have all manner of accessories with them. In this case, you get four figures, two female, two male, and they have such accessories as a coffee cup, a file folder, a clipboard, cell phone, calculator, laptop, all your generic sort of office accoutrements that you'll find in this series. I think this is just one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen. You get the little cubicle walls. There's an in and out folder. I'm just looking at the picture here of all the little different things that they have.
Do they actually make those play sets?
Yeah.
Those aren't just, because at first when I looked at that, I was afraid that maybe it was just
No.
Mock up for the packaging. But
fantastic. Can you go to accoutrements.com and let us know a little bit more about what's available set wise from this? Thank you. And while he's doing that, let's go on to say that a setup like this would just look great anywhere.
Sure.
I mean, if you're a guy or a gal and you're working in a cubicle, you want to check these out and find out the one that looks most like you and your cubicle and set that one up in your cubicle. I think that's what's hysterical.
With a little zombie right outside.
Well, I think all four zombies. You buy the zombie pack and you're surrounded by the zombies. I mean, that kind of sums up the whole office experience as I understand it. I don't know. I'm independently wealthy, so I... Sounded good for like 1 second, didn't it? Well, hey, look, I'm not in a stuffy cubicle.
No,
we can
not.
Say that.
You can say that.
So there we go. Fantastic. What do you got?
Access denied.
I have this page cannot be displayed.
Did you spell it wrong?
No, I think it's just your internet is down.
as I said, you can go to the website, you can check it out, you can check out the playsets that are available, and you can build your own sort of little office. I guess this is kind of popular with The Office being very popular, and the American version and the British version, and things like that becoming more popular. You're going to see a lot of things in the industry that are trying to imitate the popular trends. And obviously no one in their right mind is going to do The Office action figures. However, this sort of kind of fills the gap between the making Office action figures of Steve Carell and company and boiling it down to being more generic and letting you kind of create your own little office environment.
Yeah, one of the figures on there too looks like Sean from Shaun of the Dead in that from far away, in that he has the tie. It's a completely white shirt and tie down the center.
Okay, fantastic. That's great.
Is that not on there? What are you guys all doing right now?
This one? No. Oh, the protester?
What are you doing?
Okay, I've got the accoutrement site up.
Okay, cool.
And I'm looking at the sets. Okay, they are sets. It comes with one character and their cube. And you've got Bob, Joe, Ted, and there's an expansion set that is just a couple more guys. Then there's the break room, the copy center, the IT set. And actually, I'm looking at the IT set, and there's a small mini computer in there, and it looks like the screensaver on the mini computer, and this is a really crazy detail if I'm right, is the Matrix screensaver. Although, holy shit, I really do think it's the Matrix screensaver, or a generic version thereof, because I'm sure they don't have the licensing.
Wow, it's the same ones I use?
It's exactly the same ones you use.
Oh, sweet.
In addition to that, you have the zombies, you've got the corporate protester, standing outside in a little soapbox with a little sign. You've got the sensitivity consultant, the motivational speaker with his little podium, the delivery driver, and then they have a poster of the entire display and setup. This is a brilliant, brilliant line of figures.
Well, go
come here,
to...
fantastic. Come here. You have to look at this IT set.
Well, you can check out what Matt's been talking about here.
Oh my God, it's a captain's chair in the IT set also. It's a fucking Matrix screensaver. It's like Captain Kirk's chair. That's fucking brilliant. I'm sorry.
Well, you can head on over to accoutrements.com and you can check out all the fine products that come from the geniuses over at Accoutrements. We look forward, as always, to talking about more accoutrement products. I think the cubes is brilliant. I think Horrified B Movie Extras, is that what it's called? Horrified B Movie Victims are just a brilliant, genius idea. The narwhal, the air freshener, the monkey thing. Great stuff from a great company. We look forward to seeing what they come up with next. Matt, they're going to do it again. New York Comic Con is returning this February.
That's right. February 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Jacob Javits Convention Center, right in the heart of Manhattan.
Did you see the guest list on this thing? Stan the Man Lee.
Excelsior.
Ugh. J. Michael Straczynski and the one and only Kevin Smith.
Ooh.
And the three and only us.
All right.
The Big Kev's Geek Stuff staff, myself, Matt, and Mr. Fantastic will
at his first con appearance
That's
ever.
True. His first con appearance ever.
In addition, this year, the New York Comic Con is hosting the 2007 Anime Awards.
In addition to that, Matt, there'll be tons of gaming, comics, toys, displays, special functions, exclusives. I'm sure they're going to have the entire gamut of the convention scene at this amazing convention.
You can go to www.nyccomiccon.com for more information. That's NewYorkComicCon.com.
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we're back with episode 41 of Geek Stuff. Aftershock.
Aftershocks.
Ooh, I'm sorry. I left out the S.
Electric Aftershocks.
Guitar. Yeah, electric. Exactly. We're going to just go through the news real quick. Quick wrap up.
Okay.
Again, we encourage you to go to the Geek Stuff message boards and participate in our discussion for who you think should play Trixie in the next film. We've had a couple of really good suggestions so far, unless you're Kevin, who doesn't think most of them are good. But that doesn't matter. You should still submit them, and we'll revisit it again next week.
Okay.
In addition to that, looks like Diamond Select has picked up some a nifty license 24. It's going to be some mini mates, some 12-inch figures.
Hopefully Alicia Cuthbert.
Maybe.
That's the figure there.
I hear
you. And one single good Jack Bauer figure.
Nah, you need a good Jack. You need the president, you know, really, David Hayes, Haysworth, whatever his name
is. Isn't he dead?
In the show, but he was on the show for 5 seasons before he died. it looks like there's going to be no more Star Wars mashed potatoes.
Good.
There's going to be no more Star Wars.
No Star Wars mashed potatoes. Oh, thank God.
It looks like there's going to be no more Star Wars Mr. Potato Heads. Instead, they've acquired a couple of new licenses. Looks like Spider-Man, Transformers.
Awful.
Optimash Prime.
Oh, Jesus.
And while we're on Transformers, there were some real quick bits I wanted to hit. Looks like they're trying to get Frank Welker to do the voice of Megatron. It's just about finalized. In addition, we saw another full-body shot of Megatron this week, and images of the first wave of toys, both Optimus Prime and Starscream in their proto form, which would be the form they have right as they come from Cybertron to Earth. We also know that Corgi and Master Replicas have merged, in a sense. Corgi is going to be tackling some new stuff. Master Replicas has picked up a great little company to run with, and that should be interesting to see what kind of products they can come out with.
I want to remind everybody to pick up, if you're interested, Pirates versus Ninjas, number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's from Antarctic Press. The black and white book, cute little thing. Again, kind of commenting on the whole movement of Pirates versus Ninjas. You can also check out piratesversusninjas.net. And that's spelled out all the way, piratesversusninjas.net.
Yep. We covered some new stills from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film, the CGI film that's coming out in, I believe, February. The toys a little bit. Really, we're going to have to kind of wait and see what happens with some of these new characterizations and how it works into the story. But it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think once we have, them more in hand, I think we'll be able to give that a better once over than from just the few images that we have.
Right. Toy Biz's Indie Legends line. It looks like the first figure is online. It is the 2000 AD Judge Death figure. If you go to 2000adonline.com, you can see images of that figure right now. Or you probably are seeing it on the episode as we speak.
Wasting no time whatsoever. They are out of the cannon, ready to roar, Toy Biz. Gotta hand it to them.
Yep.
They, you know... When they go after it, they go after it. Doesn't matter who or what is in the way.
Sure. Looks like M. Night Shyamalan is going to be tackling a new trilogy. Avatar, The Last Airbender. The animated series that's currently on Nickelodeon. Definitely a deviation from what we normally see M. Night Shyamalan do, but it's an interesting property. It's a creative property. And, you know, maybe he's the right one to do something good with it. So we'll have to see what kind of things he produces.
We've talked extensively about Avatar The Last Airbender on the show. And I don't know. It's an interesting choice. I'm going to have to hold my breath and wait and see where they're going to go with it.
Yep.
I'm a little scared, I have to admit.
Yep. Sam Raimi lets a little bit of information slip in regards to Bryce Dallas Howard and Gwen Stacy. He mentions the fact that if there was a fourth Spider-Man film, that she would be the character most likely to return, both character and actress, most likely to return in that film. So that kind of leads us to question some of her role in the third film and what's going to happen to her exactly. And
she doesn't die.
Right. New Line Cinema is saying, fuck you,
to Peter Jackson.
In so many words.
And the fans are undoubtedly saying, fuck you back to New Line Cinema. And me and Kev are saying, fuck you to Halle Berry in her pushing for an X4 film, mostly because she's atrocious and arguably the worst thing out of all three of those movies.
Yeah. Peter Jackson is really getting screwed here, and Halle Berry is trying to screw us.
Exactly.
So there's so much screwing going on.
It's all related, really.
It is, really.
We then went over to Accoutrements, revisiting a great line, definitely a niche,
company.
Unique
great company.
Line and company. They've got some awesome products out there. The Avenging Narwhal, Captain...
Danger.
Captain Danger, the parachuting monkey. We've got the Horrified B-Movie Victims.
Brilliant.
PVC pack, which is a great little pack. We've got the Parasite Pals Tickles the Tapeworm air freshener.
Apple, you can go
to,
scent.
Yeah, apple scent. You can go to ParasitePals.com to check out more of those. And certainly last but not least in this review would be the Corporate Cubes line.
It's called the Cubes.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Cubes line with the Corporate Zombies glow-in-the-dark 4-pack that we have actually have here in studio with us.
Hey, do you know they have names?
I'm sure. All the other Cubes have
names
as
well. I missed that.
So.
It's Ung, Guh, Ag, and Ug.
Exactly. So...
Yeah, I totally missed that before. Wow.
Well, you know, they don't hold anything back.
Wow, that's
so
awesome.
You can go to accoutrements.com. You can check all of these great products out, and you can be sure that we will have more accoutrements on this show in the future.
And we want to announce tonight a couple of exciting maneuvers that are coming up. We want to announce that Kevin Smith will be joining us on the program in the coming weeks.
He will. He has promised us.
Yes, we don't have an exact date, but we are taking it on faith that date will be arranged. Actually, we may be able to announce that date next week.
Ooh, that would be wonderful.
That would be. And secondly, an ongoing series of features that is going to be starting very soon on Big Kev's Geek Stuff is the...
Action Figure Chop Shop.
Action Figure Chop Shop. What's Action Figure Chop Shop? What's that all about, you say? Well, you're just going to have to wait and see. All I can say is it's very exciting. It's new. It's different. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to shine the light on a lot of creative artists who are out there working right under your nose with products that you may have at home.
You know, on the cusp of our first birthday, Kev... It feels like we're all grown up already.
How is it on the cusp of our first birthday?
We're a month and a half away from 1 year.
Wouldn't
started in March.
52 weeks at the 52nd episode,
well,
wouldn't it?
You know, no, not really. Not really. Because we've been doing it for a year in March.
That's a long time away still. When was the first episode? Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, years later. March 28th, 2006 was the first episode.
Okay, so it's a little over two months away.
That's not a cusp.
Sure it is. It's...
How are we defining cusp?
As rapidly approaching, right around the corner.
Like the end of this episode.
And on that note, we cue the music.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Grace is great balls of fire. I let in love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, now, honey. I've changed my mind. This love is fine. Grace is just great balls of fire. Kisses, baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a shoe. You're fine. So kind. Tell this world that you're mine. I chew my nails and then I twiddle my thumb. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby. It drives me crazy. It's just great balls of fire. love you like I love a should. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine. Ain't it too hard to hear when I quit on my thumb? Real nice, the bloody show is fun. Come on, baby, drive me crazy. But this great, boss of fire.